After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome again to another episode of After School Special Podcast. Today, we're talking nostalgia, but we're talking more new, or at least what the old relates to the new. So, Stranger Things, the cultural phenomenon that is Stranger Things, Demigorgons, a little kid with psycho telekinetic abilities, a couple nerds that like playing D&D. Doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that sound, I don't know, like it's been done multiple times before? That's what we're talking about today. 80s science fiction, horror, slash adventure. With three films that we are talking about today that kind of go along with Stranger Things. If you don't know what Stranger Things are, smack yourself in the face. You deserve it. At least for me, I remember being introduced to Stranger Things. It was on Netflix. Not a lot of advertisement for this, or at least originally. Then all of a sudden, people were watching about it, you know, it was taken off, you know, a monster that kind of looks like a pussy attacking little kids. It was interesting. And then you get into the character 11, and then along with all the other characters, the two white kids, and then and then you have Cop, kind of looks like a pig. And
Jim Hopper.
Thank you. John, you were going to know the names. And then Winona Ryder.
Joyce Byers.
There you go. Winona Ryder, the quintessential queen of, well, I don't know, Tim Burton. She was kind of like a Tim Burton. Beetlejuice, right?
No, she was also in Edward Scissorhands, too.
Yes. So she Dracula. Was kind of the Helen. Was that Tim Burton? No, that wasn't
Tim Burton. We're talking
that
Tim
was
Burton.
Coppola.
Yeah, Francis Ford, which I don't care what anyone says. It was a pretty good movie. Yeah, but yeah, Winona Ryder. Tim Burton, she was kind of like the Hella Bonham Carter at the time, if you shall, because now all he uses Helena Bonham Carter. I don't even know if I'm saying that right.
You're saying it right.
So going forward, some of these movies that at least we think that the Duffer Brothers took some, I don't know, the relevant parts of these films, specifically for me, I am talking about, and you may know it, The Goonies, and also It, but The Goonies.
Steven Spielberg presents The Goonies, a Richard Donner film.
Time, Chunk.
Hey, Mike found the map.
Wow, do you guys realize what we could do?
I don't want to go on any more of your crazy Goonie adventures.
Meet Mikey.
I gotta go to the bathroom.
Brand. Andy.
Shame, shame.
Come on, Brand. Slipper the tongue.
That's disgusting. No, I can't even look.
Mouth.
I got gotcha. You. Now get out from behind there. You're ruining the painting.
You're ruining my job.
Stephanie. Data.
Booty Blader.
Ow.
Guys, isn't that neat?
And Chunk.
Flopped.
Thanks, Chunk.
They call themselves the Goonies.
Goonies, made in 1985. Was produced by Steven Spielberg, hence the great music, the great filmmaking. When he produces, he's more or less directing it. But John, who was the original director? You had said his name.
Richard Donner.
Richard Donner, which actually I watched a documentary and he had said how much he hated working with kids, but at the same time gave him the energy to do the stuff that he did. And then it's kind of actually the same thing with the director of It. He also said that he hated working with kids as well. Almost everyone on that crew hated working with children. And they even said that probably some of these kids should have been diagnosed with ADHD. Seth Green, they thought he was autistic. That's a lie. Yeah. Oh. I don't know. They were saying like a lot of mean shit on there about these kids. Screenplay was done by Chris Columbus. If you know him, Harry Potter fame, based on the story by Steven Spielberg, more or less about a bunch of kids. They discover a treasure map. Their house is about to be foreclosed on, or at least that area is about to be foreclosed on. And so they think getting this treasure from One-Eyed Willie, legendary 17th century pirate. Well, at least in their world, I don't think he's an actual pirate. Yeah. And then they're being chased by a grizzled old woman and her two sons, which...
The Fratellis. Mama Fratelli.
There's a Mama Fratelli. Well, I'm trying to get her name. Anne Ramsey is Mama Fratelli, an Italian-born crime matriarch. So this is the Italian mob that they're dealing with in upstate New York, and they set off on an adventure through evil Mama Fratelli's restaurant. See, I didn't realize that that's how they entered in. And then the kids go off and do their own thing, and then Chunk stays with he befriends, how do I put this?
Sloth is deformed.
Nicely. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Hit it on the nose there, John. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it. Yeah, no, Sloth, who likes baby Ruth and can't tie his shoes. So then they end up going to, also the fact that they're foreclosing on these houses, the one thing I never understood, they're foreclosing. So more or less, I believe these people are broke in some way, shape or form, or at least they're trying to stave off, I believe it's like some type of contractor. But the Sean Astin's character, Michael Walsh, or the Walshes, they have a Spanish housekeeper. I didn't quite understand that. Like, they can't afford to save their house, but they can afford a Spanish housekeeper. Didn't quite get that.
Well, maybe they only like give her pesos. You know, pesos, significantly
possible
less. That, I don't know.
That's one way. Or I was gonna say taquitos or something like. No, that's no.
And that they weren't in New York. They were in Oregon.
Are you sure?
Astoria, Oregon.
It's a story. Oh, I thought it was Astoria, New York.
Yeah, Astoria is a port city in Oregon. United States is the main setting for the Goonies.
Okay. Yeah. When I saw Astoria, I think automatically I just thought New York.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But they set off to go after this. Adventure ensues. They go through a... So the reason why I thought this connected, or at least connected in some way, shape, or form, with Stranger Things, a group of kids... Male, female, everything. They were the loser kids, which, you know, it's the same thing with Stranger Things. It's a bunch of these kids are losers, but not in their heads. They think they're, you know, cool as all hell. And they call themselves the Goonies. And...
Well, you raise a good point, because I think that was kind of like the theme. Well, or Rocky. Or I know that's a weird segue, but kind of like a loser that just builds up and builds up and becomes a champion. It kind of reminds me of that. Like the Goonies... The Hellfire Club and Stranger Things. Losers, but they're really the heroes.
The geeks. The geeks. The lovable losers. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Which is not real life.
No, no, no. If you're a geek nowadays, you're bullied into submission.
I don't know.
Well, you know what? I'm going to push back against that. I think that geeks now are in.
Because
you have people who dress like that. You have people.
Well, they're called hipsters, John.
Yeah.
If you go to any school right now, it has not changed one bit.
You know,
especially in high school or middle school,
it's cyberbullying. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Or if you're on like if you do gaming, that's where they do it at. And they got a thing now called swatting, where these send SWAT teams to these people's houses. I saw a documentary on that. But you're right, John. It's just different, you know.
The swatting, and then what else? They can give your location out as well to people.
Yeah.
And
they can dox you too. I mean, that's another thing.
Doxing is more or less that. Well, I dox myself. So people pretty much know I live in Michigan. And
okay. I'm slow. Swear. I'm slow, guys. What does doxing mean? You guys have said that in other episodes. What does that mean?
It's giving out the more or less personal information. You can do phone number, you can do address, you can do like all that shit. And now that you have the web, because like back then, more or less all you could do was like give wedgies, spit, possibly kicking balls, you know, punch someone and call them nerds if they found out that you were doing D&D. Now everyone plays D&D and it's cool.
And those people are still making fun of the people that are doing D&D. For me, you know, people that get made fun usually are not, they just don't know social cues. And it's kind of sad the fact that these people get ripped apart. Whereas like a lot of these kids in these shows, we would all consider cool and, you know, wanting to be in their life. But
none of these people,
anyways,
in
sorry.
Goonies, do they have trouble with social cues? I don't remember that. A lot of these films.
One of them has asthma.
I think Mouth was the one that was Corey Feldman's character was yep. the one that would. He talked like out of his ass. Like he would constantly be saying shit that was just out of line. He would always push buttons with Brolin's character, the big brother.
Josh Brolin? Yeah.
Josh
Brolin.
So,
Brand.
So
Brand,
he would be yeah. like yep. the Dustin character in Stranger Things, kind of. He's kind of outspoken. Don't yeah, really have I would social cues. Like he kind of says whatever he wants to say.
Dustin is a mix of Mouth and Wang.
That's
or a data.
Data. Yeah, that's what I would have said because okay. Data is the tech guy, and Dustin always comes up with the walkie talkies and the different ways to communicate mm-hmm. with people via the upside down. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
And then you also have older teenagers, the what we just said, Bran, who kind of is.
Bran would be a combination of Joe well, Carey's character, which Steve. Is Steve Harrington.
Steve, yeah. Harrington.
So yeah. he'd kind be a combination jock. Of Steve and Jonathan Byers because he's related to the main character and he's kind of the typical jock, which Steve was in the first couple seasons before he graduated. And then he mellowed out.
And Mikey would be, he'll be Will in Stranger Things. Kind of like,
yeah,
everybody's yeah. looking, because his character is Sean Astin, who plays Michael. He was kind of like the asthmatic guy, if I remember.
Yes. Yeah. He had one of the inhalers. And also, Sean Astin was in, was it season two of Stranger Things?
Yeah, he was.
Season three.
Yeah. Played Bob Newby.
Yeah. He was yep. Bone and Wyona Ryder. I mean, what's his name? Her character.
Yep, yep.
He was dating Winona Ryder. Yeah.
Yeah, he was dating.
Yeah.
And then just to move on from there, but that's kind of the, you know, they end up finding the treasure. They end up saving the day. Well, they find the treasure and then what? The ship just kind of breaks out, but they're able to get some doubloons in order to pay off the
yeah.
contractors that are coming in. So the day is saved. Hallelujah. But that's the reason why I brought that up. And this will kind of segue into the next one that I'm doing, which will be pretty quick. But if you put these two movies together, it's Stranger Things. And I know the Duffer Brothers took a lot of, you know, aspects from each one and put it in there. You can even see it. Also, like E.T. was another one. But, you know, the whole 80s experience, the music, you had Cyndi Lauper playing. And I think in the music video, she had a lot of the Goonies in there. And then also probably pro wrestlers, because that's usually what she did. She loved pro wrestling, and she's pretty fucking awesome.
Hey, babies, you liking the show? Well, thanks. Leave a 5-star rating and a comment, please. Do you want to see the guys' faces? Well, they got YouTube videos. It comes out every Wednesday before the episode comes out on Friday. You can watch this podcast on any major platform you listen to. Rate 5 stars and comment. Thanks, babies.
And then to get into the next one, which is kind of, in a sense, the same, except you're, you know, you have a killer clown, more or less, based off of John Wayne Gacy, supposedly, or Stephen King based it off of John Wayne Gacy. Not the new version, but the made-for-TV movie. And that's what a lot of people don't remember. This was a made-for-TV movie. It played over 2 nights.
Yeah.
It. By far, Tim Curry as the creature, as Pennywise, one of the most terrifying things I've ever seen. And also made me terrified in general. Clowns
right.
freak me the fuck out.
Because we're the same age, six, five, we're on four, five, six between all of us. Like, I wasn't afraid of clowns until I saw that. That's for damn sure. And in 1990, the budget for that TV series was $12 million, which was more than twice the usual for a TV movie. So, and it garnered 30 million viewers for that whole year, which was number one for ABC that year, despite the whole, was it Desert Storm was starting to bubble up or was happening and everything. I think it garnered two
Emmy's TV Academy Award is
Jesus Christ
movie industry. Yeah.
I sounded okay. 68% tomato, Rotten Tomatoes rating, 63% for the audience. Rated pretty high. They had some criticisms on the second part of that TV series. It was kind of
uneven. Yeah, that dude from the Waltons, just his, the mole on his face bugs the shit out of me. Thomas.
Yeah, I didn't have too much of a problem when I saw the TV movie because for me, it was just very slapstickish. I didn't find any of it to be scary. I'm not really afraid of clowns. So, I mean, I just did not find that to be a scary movie. Now, this second iteration was horrifying.
Really? I thought the first part was horrifying because of the kids.
Yeah.
And that's how I know Stranger Things kind of took from it because it really...
You know what? To be honest, I did a little research on where the Duffer Brothers got the idea from. And it's fascinating to me that actually they got the idea from a movie called Prisoners that came out in 2013, starring Hugh Jackman, where a man is searching for his missing daughter. So they came out with this idea of a movie where there's more childlike sensibilities and the monster is eating kids. So that's...
Yeah, but that was Prisoners... Okay, maybe I haven't seen this, but I thought that was about like a pedophile.
That's not what it says here. It just says that they got the initial inspiration for Stranger Things from Prisoner.
Yeah, Prisoners is with Hugh Jackman, Jake Gyllenhaal, and what's his name? The Riddler.
Oh, you're talking about Paul Dano. But that was Terrence Howard was in that film too, I believe.
Yep, but it wasn't supernatural in any way, shape, or form. I think
But it wasn't supernatural. But the idea of a child missing,
taken.
That's what it was.
I was gonna say that's surprising to me only because basically the first scene in this movie, the character Bill Denbo, his brother gets taken away, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same. And so it's like kids missing all over town. More or less, if you don't know the story, it's about a group of outcasts and children start going missing. This Pennywise starts popping up saying he's going to eat people. He more or less feeds off of children's fear. So he goes off after children. Did you guys ever read the book? You know how this is tied into the Dark Tower and all that stuff?
Yeah, I read the book and they were talking about how it and the villain from Dark Tower could be one and the same because they're both ancient. There's a lot that the book doesn't have translated in the movie. There's no way for it.
Like, well, yeah, there's the one scene that's kind of two
controversial.
Kids.
Yeah. They couldn't do that. Or the turtle. There's no
the
way
turtle.
They could do
it. Yeah.
Yeah, they couldn't do the turtle.
The massive sea turtle that is the bane of Pennywise's existence.
Yes. So there was no way for that. I would have liked to have seen, if you haven't read the book, there's a scene in the book where one of the kids gets attacked by a bird. Or it's the father of one of the kids. I forget which kid. The black kid. It's a bird. But the bird is Pennywise. And he's attacking him in the middle of a field. It's a giant bird with the clown buttons on the tongue. And I remember that. I was like, wow, that's how you... I don't know how you could change that up.
According to Huffington Post, the Duffer Brothers, who actually once pitched an It remake themselves recently, they told Vulture that the connections are completely intentional. but there seems to be one big hole in the theory. Stranger Things co-creator Matt Duffer told Vulture that he had a problem with the 1990 It miniseries as a kid, and Bob's story was inspired by that. I think Bob, the clown story, was really me describing, and this is him talking, really me describing something that just freaked me out. I didn't have that experience myself. I just had nightmares like that, he said. Duffer continued, I'm sure we were just like, it would be cute if suggesting moving to Maine right next to Stephen King. Stephen King exists in this world. Some of the characters have read Stephen King. And I'll move on. It says, the interviewer asked, is Stranger Things and It, is it the same universe? He says, no. Stranger Things is inspired from so many 80s famous things. It's not canon to them, but pays homage to them. And then he continues, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see little snippets throughout Stranger Things that kind of like, so the first season of Stranger Things, you do have the Demogorgon, but I think there's, you know, there's an underlying, and then also the government, which is kind of like E.T. type thing.
Yeah.
You start realizing that there's probably something darker underneath, something that's leading this in some way, shape, or form. And then you get into the season now where it's like there's an evil manifest in this character. And then, you know, the Kate Bush song keeps playing over and over again. I'm well, done with it.
She's getting the bag, man. She's getting the bag.
Good for her. She's got money, but I can't, now I can't stand the song. They used to play it at the resale shop I used to work at.
Yeah.
And they absolutely loved it. And every time I hear it, I'm just like, it's not pleasing to my ears.
Yeah.
At all.
I find it interesting how many Kate Bush stans are out there, because before this song had came out, I didn't know it was that many. I mean, one that stood out to me was Big Boy from Outkast. He's a Kate Bush fan. He's actually used her music and some of his music. So I thought that that was interesting how this song brought out many people who were stans for her. She's got other music that could have been used, to be honest, but yeah, Running Up That Hill seemed to be the more popular one.
Well, but what was it? It was Fleetwood Mac like a year ago with the TikToker by the name of Dogface as he's vibing, drinking his ocean spray. And that was a big thing. But now, you know, Stranger Things has this. It's those songs are timeless. The Fleetwood Mac one is, well, I love Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
I just can't stand this fucking Kate Bush song. But if you're a fan, good for you, I guess. But
one of those things,
Well, since we're talking about music, I just wanted to mention that Richard Bales does this score for the original TV movie, It.
Oh, really?
I haven't seen anything in the score that says that it's they use different, like, you know, music from other artists. It all seems original. So,
do you think the original music? I love the new music in the new version of It. It's just like, like, it's just this one sound, like whenever he pops up, and then it's what's his name? Skarsgård's massive, you know, mongoloid head.
They all openly said, yeah, I watched the original one. Skarsgård said in an interview, he said, yeah, I thought it was silly, but he did like Tim Curry's, he took some of it,
Tim Curry is a phenomenal actor. I'm not saying that it was a bad thing. All I was saying was it was a bit funny to me. I didn't find it scary. My cousin is terrified of that movie, but I just never found it scary.
Even as a kid, John?
No, not really. No, I just didn't. I mean, Killer Clowns scare me more than that, if I have to be honest.
Wait, Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one too, John. That one too.
Yeah, Killer Clowns would be more. And which ironically, if I'm not mistaken, there were two brothers in that. That was a teen story too, but that's more, I don't know if that's...
That's true. We could have picked that one too, but it's...
Using them for food, weren't they?
They were using them for food.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I cannot think of the brother's name. They ran the ice cream truck. They did all the puppetry and stuff on the movie.
Did they put any clowns in Stranger Things yet? I'm trying to think. I don't think so.
No, they haven't, because the thing about Stranger Things that I like is the fact that it's more tied to D&D. Each character has a D&D origin. So I do like that. It gives, it gives it more tangibility because people who play D&D always look for those characters by name, the Demogorgon or Vecna, and it's pretty cool how they do that. You can't really take, they go in tandem. You can't really take one without the other. So I like the fact that these kids are playing this game that is actually a real world game, and it keeps them connected until this season. This season, it was kind of everyone was breaking out on their own.
And they see the shark. To kind of circle back to the Goonies movie, like it kind of felt like they, like I got Jumanji vibes from that movie too. Like they were all kind of like in the game or like a treasure hunt. And
yeah.
It definitely had more of like an adventure aspect to it, like swashbuckling type thing. Whereas it was more, you know, like horror. These ones, like you guys got the sci-fi stuff. Whereas like I took the more or less what or how I looked at it when I found out what you guys were doing. I had already kind of looked into the Goonies and it. I figured that you were going to go sci-fi-ish a little bit more. But it all kind of encompasses that. And like they said, it like they took things and homages. I don't know if it was this season or the last season. There's like the Beetlejuice. I don't know if you saw that video that was going around. There's like the Beetlejuice grave that's on there. It's like these little snippets, like video game shit.
They're going for it. They definitely, it's, I don't know. Can a thing become a cult film or a cult, like a cult thing if you're trying to be a cult thing? Because none of these, like cult films, that wasn't even a term back then. They just became.
I was gonna say Reanimator is a cult film.
Yes, it is.
Stranger Things really isn't a cult film because there's a certain group of people that love Reanimator, and it's the same thing with Videodrome. Videodrome is a really fucked up movie, and like if you haven't seen it, it's with James Woods before he got all racist and everything.
Yeah. James Woods is racist? No, don't do that to me.
More sexist. More sexist.
Oh, I can live with that.
More sexist.
Sorry. James Wood is more sexist. I don't want to take the other. He's more sexist than anything else. No, that movie is absolutely terrifying, but it has a cult following.
Yeah, I know Videodrome. That was wild, man. That's Canadian sci-fi.
Yep.
Oh, no shit. Yeah. And see, I thought Stranger Things, as much as I did like it at first, and like I said, we'll get to that at the end. I thought just because you want to be a cult classic don't mean you're going to be a cult classic. And can you believe that Goonies is considered a cult classic, even though the budget is $19 million and it made $125 million worldwide?
Yeah, it was successful.
A cult classic is defined by the audience that it attracts. Yep. That's what makes it a cult classic. It doesn't,
even if it's successful monetarily.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Even if it's successful monetarily, it's defined by what the audience it attracts. Like Rocky Horror Picture Show. That's a cult classic.
Yes, it is.
Because people go to the movies dressed up as the characters and throw popcorn at the screen because that's what kind of fans it attracts.
I love that.
The Room. The Room is a cult classic with Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
I did not hit her. I did not.
Oh, hi. So you got the Goonies. You have it. And we all agree that, and even the Duffer brothers admitted it, that they unabashedly like, yo, we're going to fucking take from the 80s. This is what we're in. What did you say, Staff Man? You said it was the movie
Prisoner.
Prisoner. I've never seen that shit, man.
Yeah.
It's a really good movie.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, you know, take away from it. And you said that came out in 2013?
Yes.
Yeah, because Stranger Things came out in 2014. Right.
Yeah. But they've also here's some other things, too. Some facts. They also discussed bizarre experiments conducted by the government during Cold War that they had read about, especially Project MK Ultra.
Yeah.
This led to the show taking place in the 80s, which allowed them to pay homage to all the films they have loved growing up. However, 2 weeks after they conceived the idea, they threw it away, believing that there was no way they'd be able to create it due to the inexperience with television. When they were hired as writers of Wayward Pines, they used the opportunity to learn how to create a television series. So from there, that's when they were able to come up with,
I know we're zipping past this because we're going to get to each other's movies, but favorite characters from these films. Definitely Goonies. Sloth. Hey, you guys. That's my shit.
Yeah.
I saw Goonies for the first time, like, you wouldn't believe it. I mean, like, fully. 5 years ago. And I was...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Fully. Like, I saw it as a kid, like, bits and pieces, because we all got movies where we see movies like in bits and pieces. That was one of those movies that I saw in bits and pieces. But every time my brother or anybody be like, hey, you guys, or they be like, yo, man, this motherfucker look like Sloth. I'm like, what?
Hey, you guys!
Like, oh, now I get it. But
Were they talking to you, Don?
Yeah, Larry talk. Larry talk about me. But what about you, John? Like, you say you didn't really care for it, but what about Goonies?
I always like Chunk.
Chunk, yeah. Who plays Chunk?
What is it, the Truffle Shuffle?
The Truffle Shuffle, yeah.
Well, the guy, isn't he a lawyer now? I believe
Governor. He ran for office on the Truffle Shuffle, I think.
On the Truffle Shuffle?
Yeah.
His name is Jeffrey Cohen. Is that what we're talking about? The guy
Jeffrey
who plays
Cohen?
Chunk? Yeah, that's the guy who plays Chunk. Motherfucker only 5'4". Wow. Okay. All right.
I would have to say it's Mama Fratilli. She's my favorite.
Why?
You know what? Throw Mama from the Train? Give me a fucking break, man.
That was a good movie.
Anne Ramsey.
Owen. Go get me my shoes, Owen.
No, I don't know. I just liked her. And then also, Joe Pantoliano?
Yeah.
Those guys. Robert Devi was actually an opera singer. And so the one scene where he's like singing to Sloth, like in Sloth's, you know, having a little freak out, he's actually an opera singer. And they both got the job. Joe Pantoliano and Robert Devi got the job because they auditioned together and then just automatically were like, yep, it's going to be them. Is perfect, like, what is it, almost like the Fratellis were like Three Stooges in a sense. Yeah. And then like Mama Fratilli was Mo, and then I don't know, Larry and Curly or Shemp, that guy.
Joe Pantoliano, he's one of those character actors. He was in Matrix. He was the guy that was like, he betrayed everybody. He was the Judas in Matrix 1. And he was in he was in Christopher Nolan's
Bad Boys 2.
He's in Bad Boys too. I'm talking about that Christopher Nolan one, Memento. That was shit too. But yeah.
Don't forget Sopranos.
And Sopranos.
An awesome actor.
Hell yeah.
Hey guys, if you like to see us in the flesh, we have video highlights of our episodes we release on every Wednesday before the new episode that comes out Friday. As always, you can catch this podcast on any major platform you listen to podcasts. Please make sure to rate us 5 stars and comment on how you're liking the show.
After School Special Podcast.
It's this lady and she's like, hi, welcome to my vagina.
After School Special Podcast.
What robot pet starts out speaking a unique language but eventually speaks English? Gloopy? The fuck is a Gloopy?
Podcast comes out every Friday.
But John, you want to go, pivot towards your movie, Weird Science?
Sure. So I did Weird Science.
You know, it's not a bad idea.
What?
Making a girl. Actually making a girl.
This is Wyatt and Gary.
I give her Womdigious mammary glands.
Something's about to change their world. Something out of this world.
She's alive! Alive!
What would you little maniacs like to do first?
It's all in the name of science. Weird Science.
Which was a phenomenal movie. Came out in August of 1985, August 2nd. Stars the dude, Anthony Michael Hall, who was like a darling of 80s films back then. Ilian Michelle Smith as Wyatt Donnelly, Kelly LeBrock as Lisa, Bill Paxton as Chet Donnelly, and then it also starred the young Robert Downey Jr. as Ian. Pretty much, it is the story of two outcasts, Gary, Wallace, and Wyatt, who get humiliated by senior jocks because they're looking at the girlfriends that these jocks have. So they decide to create a woman, the perfect woman. who turns out to be Lisa. And they create her by hooking electrodes through a dial, hacking into a government system computer for more power. And they end up putting bras on their heads, you know, really trying to get the thing going. And they create Lisa, who is an intelligent woman with unlimited magic powers, who's played by a very sexy Kelly LeBrock, a model.
And, yep, also a wife to
Steven
Yeah, I was going to say Steven Seagal, martial artist, yeah. Steven Seagal.
Karate.
And I found the name Weird Science comes from the 1950s EC Comics of the same name. And this was the pre-comic code authority of the 1950s. So that's where the name Weird Science came from. Also, you might know the title of the song Weird Science by a new wave group called Oingo Boingo, which was led by
Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Of Burton fame. He's worked with Burton quite a bit. So what ends up happening is these boys have Lisa, and Lisa gives them all their wishes, and she pretty much is like a genie. And she tries to warn them certain things and guide them down certain paths, and hilarity ensues. The boys end up throwing a party where they try to recreate another Lisa for two of the bullies, but they end up creating a missile, and all hell breaks loose in the house. And the only way to really stop this is Lisa has to put the boys in a situation where they need to defend themselves and stand up for themselves. So these mutant bikers come in and take the two girls that they like, and it allows the boys to find out that they can stand up for themselves. And they don't have to be bullied by anybody, which they were able to do. So everything goes back to normal. And ultimately, Lisa still keeps an eye on them. She's now the gym teacher of the school. And it's a very iconic scene. She's wearing the Phys Ed shirt with the unitard and the tights and the headband. And one of many posters that I'm sure young boys have from way back in the day.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah.
I was going to say, this basically shows how, you know, like innovative young men can be when they're horny enough. You know, the creation, yes. they could have just made a fleshlight, but instead they made a whole woman.
Yeah, whole it was whore. Funny. Yeah. So, yeah, it was one of those good movies. I thought for me, it kind of reminded me of what the boys are doing in Stranger Things. They find out that Eleven has these powers, and Eleven is kind of their Lisa as far as being able to solve problems for them and figure things out. Now, obviously, Eleven is younger than Lisa, so
yes,
there's no...
Yes. And
there's
she's no, not a whore.
It's not... She's not doing that. Well, Lisa wasn't really a whore, per se.
No, she wasn't.
Yeah.
She was not, John.
She just flirted.
John, have some respect on her
flirted.
Name.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And then... You know what? This time, the first time in an episode, I wasn't the one that brought up possible pedophilia.
Yeah. So I don't
John
know.
John doesn't know what to say.
Yeah. I don't know.
Wouldn't she flirt with these little underage kids or high school
well,
kids?
Was yeah. She was John. Flirting with them, but I don't know if that qualifies.
No, you don't think if they would have tried to take it to the next level, you think she would have been like, nah, I can't do it. It looked like she was. She was into
I think her whole thing was just because they created her that way. She
Hell
was
yeah.
created to be seductive. So, but yeah.
All men want is a strong woman, and they created a strong woman.
That's not true.
Don, you should be ashamed of yourself.
I mean, I do. I'm just I'm going to shut the fuck up. Go ahead, John.
So, yeah, I thought that was my connection to Stranger Things was how they acted around Lisa as their superhero, like she would come and fix the problems, and how Eleven is like that for the boys, especially in season one and two.
Yeah, season one and two, she's more like that, and then you get into season three where she thinks she's so badass that she needs to stop doing all her Eleven shit because you know, she's not that badass. Just saying.
Season
she's
two
still
of
trying
Stranger
to learn.
Things is like no connection there. It's like it came and went. Like I don't
is
know.
That the one where they introduced the one woman that had the same powers?
Yeah,
season.
Yeah, she. Went
I thought off. That was season. I thought that was season three.
No. Season two was the building and everything. Season three was the mall and the building. It was the second episode, I believe. Yeah. 11 goes off and she has the slick back.
That's right, because that's when they introduced Max and her brother Billy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yeah.
Season three is where they introduced Max and
No. Season two. Because season three is when the mall happened.
Yeah.
And that's when Billy became the lifeguard.
Yeah.
He wasn't.
Yeah, that was when they were introduced.
No. They were already established characters in season two.
Were they?
They were already established.
So we don't look stupid. look it up. Well, I think you're right, John. They were already established. By the end of season two, Billy has some black shit in his being. So did Will. And then it like connected into season three. Season two, 11 went off to a whole nother state. And that's when they met the weird guy who's got the bald, curly head that we see more prominent in season
four. So they were, she was on Stranger Things as of 2016.
Max.
Yeah.
The episode. You're right. Yeah. Fear Street Part 2.
Yeah. So that's when they got introduced.
I just don't remember them in
exactly.
That,
season two sucked.
Well, it wasn't because their introduction was kind of lackluster.
It was.
It was mostly about Billy. And I thought Billy would.
Who was in the new Power Rangers movie. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he was. Yes, he was. I thought he would have a redemption arc. But he kind of had a small one, but it led to his death. I just thought it would be a little bit different than that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Another 80s hit, though, even though, according to the Screen Rant, it wasn't John Hughes' biggest hit. It became another cult favorite, it says.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, I know when I was on deployment, they showed that movie religiously. They had a list of 80s movies that they showed, and when the new people who were new to the force would come in, they would say, hey, have you seen these movies? And these young kids have not seen any of these movies. So they make them a homework list and put on a drive full of 80s movies and just sit down and make them watch them. So I know Weird Science was one of them. What was the other one? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
And E.T. What's the other one? Fast Times at Ridgemont. Those were the ones that
I consider this movie more of a cult film than the other movies you just said, like It and Goonies, even though they are. I agree with you guys. But it might have been the timing of when this movie came out, because it said Weird Science came out 6 months after Breakfast Club. And this came out 2 years after 16 Candles, which was they were all connected to John Hughes. So maybe it could have been kind of like the same thing we talked about in other episodes, Aaron, like with Casino and The Goodfellas. It was just like, you know, it was a good movie. It was just kind of came out around the same time where it was like, all right, man, like you kind of doing the same thing. But actually, Weird Science was totally different from 16 Candles and shit. It was
totally because different. It's more fantasy, right?
Yeah.
Fantasy, sci-fi.
Way more fantasy. Yeah.
When did E.T. come out?
E.T. came out in 80...
I think it was 84, because everything seems like it comes out in 84. E.T. came out in 82. So, yeah, this was after E.T.
Yeah. And I loved E.T. I had to watch that again at my mom's house because we had it on VHS. So I watched it again. It had a green VHS tape.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
You ever play the video game? I did on Atari.
The worst.
Or Atari?
that was the worst game. Could not figure it out to save my life. I would like to see somebody do a playthrough of that.
A speed run?
Yeah, just to see if they found all the materials needed for him to phone home. But yeah, man, that's wild. But yeah, E.T. was another good one. So should I go into my second movie?
Let's do it.
The Last Starfighter.
Alex Rogan lives in a small trailer park in the California mountains. One night, a mysterious stranger offers Alex an opportunity he never dreamed of.
Who are you?
I'm Centauri, and you may... No, you must trust me implicitly. Get in.
Nothing Alex Rogan has ever imagined could prepare him for what he is about to experience. The Last Starfighter.
his adventure in space is about to begin.
Now, this is a cult classic. Came out in 1984. It's an American space opera directed by Nick Castle. And it tells the story of a teenage recruited by an alien defense force to fight an interstellar war. This was one of the first films, along with Tron, to use extensive real-life computer-generated imagery to depict its main starships, environments, and battle scenes. The Last Starfighter was Robert Preston's final role. He played the character Centauri. Long story short, Alex Rogan, who is our star in this movie, the protagonist, lives in a trailer park. He does not like where his life is going. So he ends up playing a game called Starfighter. He gets the high score on Starfighter and ends up being met by an alien who tells him Starfighter is pretty much a training simulation. And since he has the high score, which wouldn't that be the thing? Like, you get the high score in the game and then you're being called up for battle.
Hell
so
yeah.
That he gets the high score in the game.
This is like and, Top Gun. No,
I was going to say, it's just like, what if it was Tetris instead of like Last Starfighter? And then it's like, you're the best at doing Tetris. And then they take you and then they enslave you. And then you just build pyramids the entire time.
Jeez, that would suck.
You're the best at Tetris.
1984 was a great fucking year for just movies, man. That's why people keep referencing 1984 outside of us being born, Aaron, one of us. Me.
No, anyway. I was 85, man. Yeah.
85.
Yeah.
76% tomato, Rotten Tomatoes rating, 70% audience rating.
Yeah. Dude, I remember watching this. It came on Channel 50 back in the day. And I remember watching it, and I was just like, is this a knockoff of Star Wars?
But yeah, that's what I
thought. It was its own movie. Alex ends up going and fighting in this interstellar war where he's teamed up with an alien reptile who is his pilot named Grig. And they end up going and fighting. They end up winning the war. It's a really good film for a Saturday. You know, if you just want to sit down and put something on, you can just watch that.
But the common theme is buddy, like, just like in Stranger Things, like an Avenger. Like, this is a threat. We got a band together. And it's always somebody that's the one. Like a left.
Yeah. These movies are about teamwork.
Yeah.
And how important teamwork is. And that youth. The team.
And youth. Don't forget youth.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, because youth is, what is it? Youth is wasted on the young or the children, whatever that
not
phrase
in these
is.
Films.
Because now I realize it. My knees are going and whatnot. And I'm like, God, I would kill to be young again. And just, you know.
And the common theme in these movies and shows like Stranger Things, the adults are usually just dumb as hell, or negligent or just dumb.
Like, well, that was the 80s, man. You remember Reagan that little era. Advertisement? Yeah. And it's like, do you know where your children are? The thing would come up at like 10 o'clock at night. Are you kidding me? If my kids were out there, like, it's about to be 10 here.
And
like,
have a panic
that
attack.
Thing comes up, it'd be like, yeah, no, I'd be shitting my pants.
Which is funny because the Satanic Panic is in this season of Stranger Things. I didn't know when it was coming, but it came. And it's in this season, and they're talking about how, because the guys are known as the Hellfire Club.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, this year's villain, not aside from Vecna, but the fear mongering of this cheerleading or the basketball star is really going to come to a head. I'm looking forward to it. Like, where does it come with someone losing their life or what? I don't know.
Does anybody know that I'm looking guy's forward to name? Seeing. Not the real actor, but the character, because he is the epitome of Reagan 80s. Right fucking there. The fear-mongering, the whole them against us type mentality. I can't think of his name right now, but yeah, you're right.
Mason Dye is the actor. Jason Carver is the character.
Jason Carver is their future senator or president because
he's like
the way he talks to those adults
in the sheriff's briefing.
He just took over.
And you know what, man, I was like, of course it would happen when the black sheriff's in charge. Of course it would happen.
I thought the same thing, John. Like, really? Were you going just Mr. Golden Boy white man, you just gonna take over?
Yeah, and
if that was one of us, they would sit your black ass down. Wouldn't they say that, John?
They tell you to chill the fuck out.
Chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
Sit your black ass down. No, they say sit your black ass down.
Yeah.
You know where you at? You're in Hawkins. Sit your black ass down.
Yeah, in the 80s. Hawkins.
Oh, this is the 80s. Because that wouldn't happen now.
But yeah.
You go further down south, that might happen.
Oh, further. There's further places down in Michigan. Indiana.
What are you talking about?
There are places. There's places in Indiana that's like that. There's places in Indiana that you still can't go. Yeah.
Shit. Well, how do you guys think about how they project how the Duffer Brothers like view minorities in Stranger Things?
I think they do a little bit better, but the tropes are still there.
Yeah.
Like from 80s movies when it comes to like black people, like it's still there.
But they're doing that on purpose, right?
I don't know. Maybe they could have just been like, oh yeah, that's what we meant to do because it's an homage to the 80s.
Because it wasn't equal like it is now. I mean, it was like that in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yes. I guess it depends on where you lived in the states during the 80s. That does matter because, you know, I don't foresee that part of Indiana having the crack pandemic being a big issue. I don't see that. Yeah. Major cities might have. Now, they were in Hawkins. That's not a major area.
No.
And the big thing is there was obviously an issue between Billy and Lucas. Billy and Lucas got into it a lot. Because I don't know if it's because Billy didn't like anyone talking to his sister, but he was really taking it out on Lucas.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was any racist overtones there. I'm not sure.
It wasn't implied. I just thought he was being protective of
that. Which was weird because he didn't like his sister. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but how many times you don't like your sibling, but if somebody come at your sibling, you be protective of your sibling?
I don't. I think this was completely different. I think this was completely different. I think that Billy was written like that on purpose to be a jerk, regardless of, you know, because that's when Steve had to come and whoop his ass. And he lost that fight between him and Billy because Billy had a thing about Steve Harrington, like he wanted to kick Steve's ass.
I think it's universal. Everybody loves Steve. And we all agree we like Steve.
Yeah, Steve made a jump though
first season to the second season.
I thought he was going to die. Well, he wasn't in the first season. He was in the second. I thought he was going to.
No, Steve was in the first season.
Yeah, was.
Was he? He was dating.
He
sure was.
Nancy Wheeler.
Wheeler's friend died in the first season. I always get them mixed up.
That's Barb.
Barb. Yep. Yeah, Barb. Yeah. Sure. Okay.
R.I.P. Barb.
Yeah. I thought Steve was going to die in the first season. I really did.
Yeah.
Yeah, then he became like, I don't know, like.
He kind of became daddy.
Best friend, man. He became
a daddy,
like,
right? Yeah. That's what they call him, a daddy. He's a daddy.
I'm going to have to throw an ew out there.
Did you catch a hell?
He just became like the kid's best friend, like the babysitter.
A mentor.
All of a sudden.
Like, we're going to be like this guy. You know what I mean. Like, he was popular in high school, but then that's where it ended. It was like, what else am I going to do? Like, I didn't have any aspirations but to become popular in high school. And he kind of stunted his own growth. And he peaked. Yes.
Yep.
Thank you. You summarized everything I said.
Yep.
But that kind of leads me into my movie, which is 1984 movie Gremlins.
Steven Spielberg presents Gremlins. Billy Pelser has a nice home. A nice job. A nice girl. And loving parents who were about to give him...
You're going to like this. No, don't shake it. We're gonna have to open it now. It won't wait till Christmas.
The most unusual gift he ever got.
What is it?
Gremlins, directed by Joe Dante. They'll be expecting you.
Executive producers Steven Spielberg, and it was written by Christopher Columbus. And
yeah, Christopher Columbus. He did the Goonies too. Yeah. They were a powerhouse team. And then also what's his name? Corey Feldman was in Corey Feldman.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in that, and then he got the Goonies job because of Gremlins, I believe. Yeah, because 1985. Yep.
A young Phoebe Kate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who was in Richmond? Was in the movie
Fast Times at Ridgemont.
Fast Time at Ridgemont. Yep.
She's married to Kevin Kline.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
I was going to say at the time it was a controversial choice because she was in Richmond High, the movie, topless in that. And they were like, well, you know, this one is in this role, she's supposed to be more adoring and more teen friendly and all
yeah
that.
This one you don't have to worry about high school. This is about little furry guys. If you get them wet, you're fucked.
Exactly.
Don't feed them after midnight, more or less. It was just the Gremlins were based off of teenagers, right?
Well, you know what, the NAACP actually came out and protested that film.
Wait, are you serious?
Oh yeah, yeah.
More on that, John, because I haven't heard that story.
So at the time, the NAACP thought that Gremlins was using stereotypical black behavior for the gremlin behavior. The eating the chicken, the clothes they were wearing, the way they were dancing.
From the very first Gremlin movie?
The very first Gremlin movie, yes.
I would say the shopkeeper is more offensive than the gremlins.
Yeah.
The Chinese shopkeeper? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, so that was really something that came out. Yeah.
Did not, because I rewatched it for the most part, and that did not.
You wouldn't know unless you were looking for it.
Well, and there's which is my favorite scene, where they're all in there getting drinks, fucking around at one. Well, I'm going to get to that, but that I can see that part where they're like, okay, maybe, but I didn't see it. And there was one part where one of my favorite actors, but 80s, 90s actors who played in a different world, who played in Cooley High. His name is Glenn Thurman. He plays doctor or scientist. His name.
Yes. Yes.
Roy Hansen. He's the first motherfucker to die. Like, God damn it. It got to be us.
But that's a typical trope, man. Typical. Black person going to be the first one to die.
Let me get into it real quick. So this was Gremlins. The movie, it came out 84, and it came out in, August 10th, 1984. This movie was set around Christmas time. A gadget salesman, Randall Pelzer, buys a special gift for his son for Christmas. The shopkeeper, who's a classic stereotypical Chinese man, reluctantly doesn't want to sell this Mogwai. That's what they call the
Mogwai.
Creature.
Yep, yeah. Mogwai.
Mogwai. So shopkeeper's grandson goes behind his back and he sells this creature, but he sells the creature to Randall Pelzer, who he warns the creature is never to be exposed to bright light because that kills it, water, or feed him after midnight. And of course, all of this happens. And as a result, a gang of gremlins tears up the town on Christmas Eve. This is rated 85% on Rotten Tomatoes, if you care, 78% by the audience. It was originally supposed to be released around Christmas time, but the executives, they realized they didn't have enough movies for the summer. So they released this in the summertime instead of Christmas time. And even though they released it in the summertime, it was the fourth best movie as far as grossing in 1984. It was only behind, I believe, Ghostbusters, Beverly Hills Cop, and Indiana Jones, Temple of the Doom. And like I said,
Temple of Doom.
What did I say? Temple of the Doom?
Temple of the Doom.
Temple. Yeah, it was only behind those, but it grossed $219 million.
Not bad. This might be a hot take here. Yeah. I am a bigger fan of Gremlins too.
Are you really?
I am.
Hey, shut up. It was written by Christopher Columbus, by the way. But yeah, okay. Why? Because it had different variety of
Exactly. It was like it's one of like the superhero movies. Like, oh man, this is the closest at the time. I'm like, this is the closest thing that we're gonna get to like a Marvel superhero movie that, you know, doesn't have Dolph Lundgren in it.
But you know, I like the original shit. Like Christopher Columbus, like I said, wrote it. And it's also partly responsible for the intro of the PG-13 rating. Steven Spielberg both directed and produced Indiana Jones, Temple of the Dunes. He was criticized. This shit was not kid appropriate. So they were about to like give him, or they were threatening. The MPAA was threatening to like give this a rated R rating. But he convinced them to give it an in-between between PG and rated R. So before it came out, he convinced them to create this whole nother rating called PG-13. Now, it wasn't the first movie that was PG-13. It was actually Red Dawn that came out.
Oh, yes. Wolverines.
Yes. That came out in August 10th,
yeah.
Which technically that was the first movie, a little tidbit, that was PG-13. But Christopher Columbus, like I said, wrote, and he said it was based off, he said he was in his apartment. And actually, the script that he wrote was a sample script. This wasn't even supposed to be a legit script. It was supposed to be like a script to show that he could write scripts. And somehow it got into Spielberg's hands. So he got it made. And Tim Burton, another side note, was actually in the running to direct this. But he was so new that they decided to go with Joe Dante, who directed the movie called The Howling before this movie.
Oh yeah, that was a good movie.
And then a year later, Tim Burton directed his first movie, which was Pee-wee's Playhouse. But yes, the movie stars Zach Galligan as Billy Peltzer, Phoebe Coates as Kate Berenger, young Corey Feldman, who we've been naming a lot, as the neighbor kid Pete Fontaine, Hoyt Axton as his father Randall Peltzer, Frances McCain as his mom, as Lynn Peltzer, Jonathan Banks, who we all know from Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul and some other. He plays Deputy Brent, Glenn Thurman, Different World, Cooley High as the first black guy, the first person that dies by these gremlins.
He was also in Super 8. I had to bring that up.
He was. Okay.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. He was in Super 8.
I thought he was dead for a long time until I think he was in, I want to say, the new Fargo show. I want to say that. Judge Reinhold plays Gerald Hopkins and Polly Holiday as Ruby Deagle, who is like the Cruella de Vil character.
Yeah.
That just hated the dog that the main character had. Like I said, it was set in Christmas. It's kind of remind me of Die Hard. It's like, it was set in Christmas, but was it a Christmas movie? I think it was. But it always fascinated me what the fucking gremlins was. Because you got the main gremlin, who was actually voiced by Howie Mandel. And how this connects to Stranger Things, I believe it connects to Stranger Things for at least one reason. Because there's always a down and out parent character that always has to get lifted up by the kids. And I think this is the case with the Peltzer family. As far as Billy Peltzer, he worked at the bank. And his dad was kind of down on his luck as an inventor who was smart enough to create things, but stupid enough to not know how to market the shit and know how to make it work correctly. So his son, just like Hopper, reminds me of the same thing. Like, damn.
Yep.
The adult, even though they're smart enough to do these things, they need help from their kids and supernatural help from the gremlins. Because when Billy's dad understands what a gremlin is, and the gremlin Gizmo, like I said, voiced by Howie Mandel, once he understands what it is, because he understands when it gets wet, it multiplies. He was going to sell this shit like a toy, which is weird, because nowadays you'd be like, no, sell this shit to science. This is a whole nother being. They never really explained that. But when
why they wouldn't bring it to science? Because wouldn't they just like open it up and start, you know, sticking things in it?
You guys.
And I mean, that technically was.
That's not out in the wild. Like, what is this?
Well, technically, that was done when they gave it to the black science teacher. That counts.
Billy did that, not his father, the scientist inventor. But you alluded to, I'm going to skip forward, great film, a lot of product placement. Spielberg was always smart about that. You got Burger King in there. You got Indiana Jones stuff in there. There's a scene where the camera's zooming in into the town and you see like Indiana Jones type figure on one of the billboards. You see Burger King commercials and shit like that in it. But
wasn't it, maybe I'm just thinking of the right Kentucky Fried Chicken? The chicken that they were eating, wasn't it?
No, it was.
No, I think it was just regular chicken. I think it was just regular chicken.
Yeah, it was drumsticks. I too thought that that was KFC, but.
Yeah, for some reason. I don't know.
It just, Which is another reason why. Which was another reason why the NAACP protested it.
Because it was fried.
Out of all the things. I'm going to defend this movie for that. Like, out of all the things in the 80s, that's where we wanted to focus on our shit. Not the crack era, the 80s, the Reagan shit we wanted to focus on.
Well, when did the crack pandemic actually
start? That started Oliver in the 70s. North. Jazz clubs.
So it started in the 70s.
We're talking about cocaine, not crack.
I'm sorry. Heroin started in the 60s and 70s. Yes. Once they were able to kind of, with cocaine, the crack epidemic happened.
In the 80s. In the 70s, 80s.
Because they were able to create it into the rock that is.
Oh,
crack.
Okay. And I stand corrected, man. It wasn't the NAACP. It was an American film critic by the name of Jonathan Rosenbaum who argued the film compares gremlins to African Americans. In Ceramic Uncles and Celluloid Mammy, Patricia Turner writes that gremlins reflect negative African-American stereotypes in their dress and behavior. They're shown devouring fried chicken with their hands, listening to black music, breakdancing, wearing sunglasses after dark, and newsboy caps, a style common among African-American males in the 1980s.
Oh, shit.
She argued that the choices of the film's only African-American character, Roy, as the first victim, suggest that his punishment may be for pursuing a place in the predominantly white society. Turner groups gremlins together with Little Shop of Horrors as the first that shows fears of African Americans without realizing it. Although she credits the film with containing a rather charming love story. Turner also claims that the origin of the gremlins with a Chinese character suggests that no one in dominant culture is to blame for the havoc wreaked by the unruly aliens. Although she misrepresents how the Chinese grandfather in the film refuses to sell the Mogwai, and disregards his lecture to the white characters at the end of the movie, in which he explicitly blamed them and their society for the events in the film.
After watching in 2022, I did not get that. The only thing I took offense with was my man, like I said, from Cooley High, Glenn Turman. I was like, damn, the first person to die was us. Other than that, the bar scene, in which she's probably alluding to the most, is when they're chain smoking, I think Phoebe Coates. Yeah. Character is a bartender.
Is it Coates or Cates? I thought it was Phoebe Cates.
I wrote down Coates. Phoebe Cates, Phoebe Coates. Their character name is Kate. She's basically serving them, which is weird too. Because that scene, she's like serving them drinks, getting them food. At one point, it was a gremlin in a trench coat and he exposed himself to her. That shit was so hilarious. But then all of a sudden she gets a Polaroid camera and starts like using the flash setting on it, which is awesome. Yeah, like that, the thing that reminds me of Stranger Things, because that's basically what we're talking about. It's just coming together against a common foe. Like, okay, I guess the gremlins would be
Demigorgons.
The Demigorgons.
They'd be Demigorgons.
That's what point like shoots out to me. Now, of course, the gremlins, even the ones that transform, because if you feed them after midnight, which is funny, they go into a cocoon state and then they emerge with the green scales and they become like evil gremlins. And another thing I always thought about, like, well, why did Gizmo, why was he so good as opposed to the other ones? And I read on Reddit, Gizmo was raised by love. Like, initially, he was supposed to be evil. And I think in the production notes, Spielberg said initially, Gizmo was supposed to turn into
Stripe.
Yes. So, okay. Gizmo was initially supposed to turn into Stripe. But he felt like if we do that, if we make him into one character, the audience are not going to like that because Gizmo is so lovable and cuddly. We want them to be more attracted to him when it comes to like products that we're going to sell later. So let's make him two characters. So that's what they did. At least that's what I read. But also Michael Winslow from Police Academy fame does all those
effects. Beep, boop, beep, beep.
Yeah.
He does the voices for the other gremlins. A large amount. He's not the only one, but he's... Like I said, Howie Mandel does Gizmo, but Michael Winslow, he helped do the voices for the other ones. But yeah, man, like, can you guys see how Stranger Things, at least in some roundabout way, the town is getting barraged by these gremlins? In Stranger Things, the town is getting barraged by Vecna.
I do see it.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Now, it's less of an adventure in Gremlins because it's really set in a holiday setting. Jerry Goldsman actually does the music to this, too. He also did Star Trek and Rambo. But 2019, Warner Media greenlit an animated series for Gremlins. I've never
seen The Secret of the Mogwai.
But was this an actual show that came out, or did they cancel it?
It's supposed to be coming out, I thought, on HBO Max, The Secret of the Mogwai.
Yep, because it's owned by Warner. And these Gremlins was designed by Chris Well. That's another thing we've always talked about. Practical
effects.
It was all animatronic. I don't know if you can do Gremlins. Because even one of the criticisms that I have about Stranger Things is that it's, as much as the CGI has improved, there's nothing that can replace practical animatronics and effects like that. And Gremlins had that. I think I read 26 puppeteers did these Gremlins. So you can't really replace that. And they had a lot of security. They were so tight-lipped about the Gremlins, the production, that after the set like wrapped for the day, they would go to everybody's car to make sure they didn't take anything home with them, like their trunks. Like the security would check everything just to make sure that it didn't leak out of what they were doing. That's how much production believed in this film. And that formula is tried and true because I believe that would have hurt kind of the product placement that Spielberg did in this film. But as far as Gremlins, I didn't watch this until like 1990 when I was about six, I believe. As much as I love Gizmo, like, it didn't frighten me, but it was, I don't know, it was just cute, man. It didn't frighten me like it. What about you guys?
I'll be honest with you. I didn't really care. It didn't do anything for me, really. Sorry, dude. I bought a Gizmo.
But your kids will love it.
I bought the toy. No, they were terrified of it. I bought a Gizmo and it does the song like and then I would put it up on the TV and my son would start bawling his eyes out.
You know who does that singing voice? It was a Jewish girl that Spielberg or
that checks out.
Should I finish?
Go ahead. No,
it was a 13-year-old girl that was going to the same synagogue as either Spielberg or Joe Dante, the director. She did that singing voice, but it that wasn't Howie Mandel.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is not a test.
We'll return after these messages.
McGruff here. I want you to learn a song that tells people to say no to drugs. Users and losers and losers and users. I don't use drugs. Don't use drugs. Come on. If you know a user even part of the time, tell them to quit, take a bite out of crime. Users are losers, and losers are users. So don't use drugs, don't use drugs.
Now, teach it to everybody and help take a bite out of crime.
Now, back to our story. Making the grade.
Okay, my grade for like It, I give it a B. For like Goonies, I give it an A. for Gremlins, I give it a B plus. I give it a B plus. Like, it was so close.
I'll give it a passing grade, a C.
Gremlins? Shut the fuck up.
Gremlins 2 is an A plus in my book.
Oh my Gremlins God, 2. You're just fucking around.
You're just fucking around.
Wait, Kyle, John, I'm not fucking around. I'm sorry. I enjoy cinema. I enjoy great cinema in Gremlins 2.
There is a femme noir type of style, though, to Gremlins. It's,
great. That's not great cinema. Cinema. Yeah, it's not, man. I'm sorry. Oh. That was the producers. The producers themselves were overreaching, and I just find that to be ugly. I thought they should have stick with the original. The new batch was just a piss poor.
Gremlins 2, great movie. What is it? Three Ninjas at Thunder Mountain. Another great.
Yes,
what
are these?
What do these movies all entail? They entail Hulk Hogan.
I know you plan.
Well, what do you give? What do you give Weird Science? Because I'll give that an A because of the originality at the time.
I would say an A too. I thought that was, I always liked that movie. And then if I watched the show, just like you, John, on USA, I, for some reason, weirdly enough, I dug Weird Science.
Well, what do you guys give Stranger Things? Because
I give Stranger Things a B plus.
I give it, B plus, C plus, maybe somewhere around there. Just because it's like, it's first season, A, 100%. A. Second season, A. Then third.
Wait, whoa. Okay. Keep going.
Well, other than you take out the weird thing with the other girl that had the power. But third season, I was kind of like, eh. And then the fourth season, I'm like, oh, they're still doing this thing? I thought it was.
That's what I thought, man. I thought this season, I think this season is the last season. That's what I read, but I could be wrong.
What do you give Stranger Things?
So,
John,
I give the whole season one a, season two a, season three I give a B minus, and season four, it's not over yet, but so far I give it a B plus.
So that so from Aaron shit, that's like a, you give Stranger Things overall like a B.
Yeah,
it sounds like.
Yeah, I give it a B.
Oh, for both of you. I said it from Aaron, but so for both
of
you.
Oh, no. For me, overall, I would say if it was AA, what? I said C and then probably a D for this season. So probably somewhere around D. A C.
You said D?
Oh, what did I say? Well, no, I don't think I said anything on the fourth season. I think it's a D. I just don't like it. It's not my thing anymore, man. All right, I know we're going to be like, one of the reasons why we're doing this episode, everyone, is to tack on to the popularity of Stranger Things, try to get more people listening to us. 100%. But I have to be honest, and I know, like, I'm not making fun of her, but Millie Bobby Brown is not a good actress. She's not.
I think it's hard to act as a character that doesn't have social cues.
Thank you. I don't think it's her fault.
I think it's very difficult to act as someone who doesn't have social cues.
What about Terminator? Arnold Schwarzenegger, you did a great job.
That's completely different.
He's supposed to be a cybernetic.
Yes, it is. That's a machine. That's a machine. That's not a human being. That's a machine.
Yeah, and the way they wrote her is very robotic. I agree.
Who else? Yeah. Who else is come off as
Steven Seagal?
Well, like all Steven Seagal in anything that he does.
He's horrible, though. What are you talking about? He's not Millie Bobby Brown.
Did you see that sniper movie that he was in?
He's horrible. Do not waste my time with trying to explain these movies.
No,
horrific.
No, dude. Have you seen it? It's action packed. He walks up a bunch of flights of stairs, and they actually had to get a stunt double.
Yeah, this sounds
for
better.
Him walking up.
Yeah. Keep going. So wait. All right. You give it a C, Aaron.
A C overall.
All right. You give it a B.
Yeah.
Dude, I give Stranger Things the first season an A. Second season, a C. Third season, a B minus. And this season, to be honest with you, a C plus.
Okay, so you're looking at an average of
about a B minus.
B minus. Yeah.
B minus. Yeah, because the movies, the TV series that we've talked about that it influenced it, at the time it was original and it didn't just rely on special effects and CGI. And not to say that Stranger Things does, but just like we just mentioned, like Eleven, she's very robotic. And I thought at this point, season four, I don't want to hear her say, Papa, Papa, like, shut the fuck up. Like, have some emotion. Like, and that's not her fault. That's not acting.
Like,
that's
playing like five or I don't know why that popped in my head.
It's just, it's not her fault.
Five-o.
Yeah.
You know,
there are no cats in America.
Yeah.
And the streets are made of cheese.
I like Vecna. I like that. I like that. There hasn't been a lot of teen love stories like it was in the third season. The second season seemed like just a wash. Like, those characters in the show to reveal Eleven's backstory, like those other kids, it was just seemed like it was unnecessary, and you never even see them anymore. It was like, what was the point of that? She goes to a whole nother state, learns that there are other kids with other abilities, and then you never see him again.
Yeah, I kind of just zoned out during that whole sequence. So it's just like you take that out and then it's an A. But if you leave that in and you really focus on what that is, yeah, that season was an F.
It was an F. Oh, what's the point? And three, they just smooch it. Her and Mike. Is his name Mike?
No, it was Mike. Yeah.
Yeah, so, Mike. They're just smooching the whole time, which I know that's what kids do eventually, but that was so fucking annoying. It's like, Jesus Christ.
I think it was growth from the prompt that their dance. Yeah.
They're children.
They're not fucking children. No, they're not.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
Sorry, kid. I didn't say any of that. Yeah, what I'm saying is, in the show, they're children. No, they're not. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're going into preteen. You're having feelings at that time. Don't do that. I have a huge effing problem with that because
I agree with you, John. That's what I'm saying.
My whole thing is that they're preteens. They've been through a lot together. They're gonna have these feelings. Mike has been protecting Eleven, hiding her in his basement. He's been doing everything for her, and obviously Eleven hasn't had any social skills with anyone else. So naturally, she's gonna fall for Mike. I think it's crazy. Now, if you want to talk about an issue, the issue was Max and Lucas. That was rushed. It was unnecessary. Yeah,
I agree.
And that should not have been added into the story. Maybe later on. But for them to be divided now in this season because of her losing her brother and all that other stuff, I think that's BS. But aside from that, Mike and the Eleven thing, there's no discussion on that for me. For me, there's no discussion.
Now, it's one thing that some of these films and shows that we mentioned, Goonies, It, Gremlins, the one thing in this season that they haven't, that those things that I just mentioned, they don't put in, that the 80s did have, was the Cheech and Chong aspect. And what I mean by that, season four of Stranger Things, they have that with the new character, I can't think of his name, with the long haired.
Oh, yeah. Argyle.
And the love interest of Nancy in the
Jonathan.
Yeah. I like those characters together, even though they relegated Jonathan as like just some guy. Like, they just totally dismissed that guy. I don't know what he did. I don't know why the writers did that. The Duffer Brothers did that. But even despite that, I do like that new aspect because it's like, yeah, that's what was happening in the 80s. Motherfucker was getting high. The Cheech and Chong aspect, the Bill and Ted type of thing, which I think another movie they kind of drew from was that. And that's why I give Stranger Things overall, I'll give it a B. I'll give it a B.
It's just too early for me to make a full overall judgment until I see part two. It's just hard for me to make that. Now, I will say that this whole thing with them moving to California and Eleven busting that girl in the nose, like, that was out of character for me.
I agree, John.
That was way too much for me. Like, I get why she did it, but I just didn't see her doing that. Because had the government not been coming for her again, she would be locked up.
Hell yeah. You know what, John? They should have done is have that girl who got busted in the nose, had her in a situation where she was about to get in an accident. And Eleven could have saved her by warning her, but yeah, she didn't. And then she would have got busted in the nose from that. But I don't think Eleven should have been the one who busted her in the nose. Because the other scenario would have made sense. It's like kind of like the Batman scenario in Batman Begins where he didn't save Ra's al Ghul. It's like he didn't kill him, but he didn't save him. I think she should have done that.
I think it's just way too much, man. Because I look at Eleven, it changes the dynamic of who Eleven is now.
Yeah.
You know, like she is becoming more aware, but her whole relationship with Mike has been a lie because she's been lying about all the fun times she's been having when she's actually been miserable.
I like that.
And then the other part for me was just her not having her powers anymore, which I can understand she doesn't have them because she used all of them to close up that gap in season 3. But it's just, I don't know, man. I just feel like Eleven went through all that, you know, growth, and she's back to not knowing who she is anymore. And now she's trying to get her powers back because this, and I hate that this colonel who's coming after her, I don't like this guy.
The black guy.
I don't know what it, yeah. I just feel like this dude is just.
He represents the broader sense of a government.
And, yeah.
And it's always a Red Scare in the 80s. It's always the Ruskies, because we didn't even get on Hopper, all of a sudden becomes this superhero, not only fucking escaping, but fucking barefoot through a fucking North Pole type of atmosphere. Don't get fucking frostbit at all. Like, word.
And you know what? To be honest, I like that. I like Hopper, like, not giving up. I like that. And I like his partner. I forget, Murray?
He's from Game of Thrones. That's the guy, the mini face guy.
No. Well, not him. The guy that came to get him with.
Okay. I thought you meant the beard guy
that knew the karate. Yeah. I like that dude. Like, I
like
his character.
And I like Winona Ryder's character, too. Like, I don't hate him, but it just doesn't make sense. She would leave her family.
Kids. Yeah.
Come on, man. I know this is the 80s. But you kind of got to, I don't know.
But maybe. You got to give it a sense of fantasy, because if the parents are helicopter hovering all the time, then the main characters aren't going to do anything. They're just not.
Give me a little bit of an update. Okay, Duffer Brothers, yeah, make an homage to the 80s, but kind of update what parents probably would have done, even in the 80s.
Well, I mean, you couldn't say that about the Goonies. They didn't tell the kids where they were going. They just left.
That's different.
Parents were never there.
No, that's not different. The parents weren't never there. How is that different?
Set the precedent that they're never there. They never, in Stranger Things, they didn't set that precedent. They're just never there. They set the precedent like, yo, these are caring parents for the most part. Not all of them. They're caring parents that love their children. And then all of a sudden, these children are just able to escape them. Like, wait, with no consequence?
Well, it's 80s parents. 80s parents, yeah. They love and care for them. But, you know, independence is independence. No, man. And I really need to do this line in the bathroom right now.
No, if the streetlights come on, you need to come home. That's
that. But that's not, that wasn't 80s. That was like 70s. That's like my mom's group. Like,
the streetlights come on.
Streetlights come on, you better be back. That's my mom's generation. It was not like that in the 80s. At least I didn't see that.
So what was the 80s? Just come home whenever you want to come home? I don't believe that.
Yeah, you came home at dinner. You just knew when dinner
lights.
Was.
Street lights.
And then you let them know, hey, I'm going over to Johnny's.
Yeah. Hey, games. I'm going. And you can't say the parents
didn't care because they did that in the first season. They stopped doing that. In the first season, I believe, they said... Like Dustin's and those characters, Lucas, they were like, yo, I'm over here. But like after season one, they stopped like referencing.
They spent all their time over at Mike's house playing Dungeons and Dragons. And my whole thing is this. They're not going to keep emphasizing why that takes away from the story for me. If you have to break out and always say, hey, well, let me go tell my parents where I'm going. That takes away from the story. If you're doing that every episode, that's ridiculous.
The whole thing is it's movie making. You can place whatever you want to. You don't have to put a reason for it because none of it is real. Yeah. And so
I know.
You know,
but I need to suspend my disbelief by at least giving me one instance where.
Then smoke a joint, dude.
Yeah, do it's it implied.
Every
it's
other
implied.
Red-blooded
it's,
American does.
I think what it is implied. Is. I think what it is it's implied. Yes, it is, because when they had this last meeting on the, I forget what episode it was on this current season. When they went and found the kids out in the thing and the police had to bring them home, everyone was establishing that they were hanging out somewhere. The parents weren't like, oh, my God, where have you been? And they've only been concerned about Nancy. The big thing was like, where's Nancy at? That was the big thing. But I digress. I just feel like
the real question is, guys, the Demogorgon looks like a butthole. And then the thing that they all came out of looks like a vagina. And that therein lies the question. Am I wrong?
No.
I mean, if you're going Freudian, I mean.
So, yeah, thank you, John. Vecna, I appreciate that.
Vecna is supposed to be, and spoiler alert, Vecna is supposed to be a general of the Demogorgon god?
What no, I think Vecna is the big bad. He's supposed to be like.
No, they said he's supposed to be a general. Like, oh, he's sending his general to open out different portals.
Oh yeah, right.
So there's supposed to be somebody above him. So there's whoever this top guy is Vecna, and then there's the Demogorgons.
George H.W. Bush.
I was gonna say
that's who the big bad.
I was gonna say Reagan, but okay. So what do you let's try to wrap this up. What do you want to see that you haven't seen yet in the next Stranger Things that's coming out July 1st? First, oh damn! Yep. So that's Friday.
What I would like to see is I would like to see the characters be able to get back together and just do what they do best. I want to see them go back to busting crime, you know, or whatever.
On
evil
Scooby Doo shit.
Yeah. I like that. I mean, it may be cliche, man. But I just want to see them get back together and do that.
Because they're in California, then Hawkins. Like, yeah, come
on. And they're actually in Salt Lake now because they broke down going to Dustin's girlfriend's house.
Which I did not like that. It's not the actors. It's not the actresses. Yeah. But it's like, I don't need this new Cheech and Chong character guy, which I like. I love this guy. I don't care if he has a love interest. Why do I need to see this shit? But I digress. Yeah, I need them to start like doing some Scooby-Doo shit.
I want to see Barb come back with two Uzis and like a red bandana on, just start fucking killing Demogorgons. Like looking like Conan the Barbarian's friend. Not She-Ra, but the what is it? Red Sonja type shit going on. Yeah. Fucking riding a horse. Barb was the fucking coolest character. And I don't even really give a shit. That? I'm sorry, Don. What was that?
That's what you want to see, Nancy go fucking Rambo.
No, not Nancy. I don't give a shit about her.
She's pretty.
Well, anyways, okay. So I want to see Barb come back. I think she deserves another shot at.
Yeah, I really felt bad when Barb. No one came for her or nothing like that.
Yeah, and then I think she had said that. Was it the actress that said it's like, well, they didn't ask me to come back for like, what is it, the third season or something like that? Because she was in it for the second season as like a dead person, I think.
No, she was in this season too. Well, flashback.
Yeah, she was in a flashback.
Oh, good for her. Good for her.
She got some residuals, maybe.
Yeah. I think they felt bad about killing her off in the first season.
She's pretty. So let's wrap it up, Aaron. We already gave our overall grade point averages. I give Stranger Things a B. And John, you gave it a, what did you give her?
More or less an incomplete, right?
I said a B plus.
You
know what? I would go with incomplete because I need to see this.
Oh, that's you can't do that.
Yeah. Why the fuck I can't?
Incomplete?
I want to see the full season.
So far. Come on, man. So far.
No, man, I got to see the full season because if this is the last season, I want to see how they finish out. That's what I want to see.
Aaron, you gave it a C plus.
I gave it a C plus. In all honesty, I'm just the kid in the background shooting spit wads at John. Sorry, John.
No, we'll be friends one day. Dude, Aaron,
I'm after tired
finishing
of,
the season. I was like, I hate this.
I'm tired of the same shit, man. And I keep saying it over and over again. Stop copying shit. Why can't we have something like ridiculously original? And there have been some movies that have come out, even TV shows that are goddamn original.
Winning Time.
Winning Time. You know what? I watched the whole thing. It's a great show.
I don't even care if it's not true. I don't care. It's good.
The Bear on FX.
My wife watches that. Yes.
That is so good. And mm-hmm. It's a comedy. Like, it's funny. It's just about kitchen. Like, if you worked in a kitchen. Huh?
Nothing.
Power? You say Power? Is that good? I don't know.
John? Black Man?
I don't watch that.
Good for you. Good for you.
I don't, man. It's not my thing.
P-Town?
Dude.
P-Town?
What?
What's that?
Oh, damn, John. You need to be more connected. It's on
Stars. I don't watch none of that stuff.
That's
dude.
Where the black people are going. They're on Stars.
But it's so it's more strippers. Or less like, Jesus Christ. More or less, The Wire. Another good show.
No, that's different.
Okay.
The Wire is
So more or less, we always go back. I'm the one that complains all the time. I wish there was more original movies and shows and whatnot. The fact that the Duffer Brothers did homage to the 80s, and now that we're in year 88 for Stranger Things, technically 1988.
So. No, 86.
So, and they're only releasing volume two is only two episodes.
They're long episodes, though. I think.
Yeah,
I think they equal like the same as this, except that's it's fine. Just one long episode. But in reality, you know, like it's kind of what we do. You know, we placate to the things that have happened in our past. Duffer Brothers got a lot of inspiration from different movies, as we've said, other ones that we haven't even, you know, mentioned. Movies in general, E.T. we didn't really talk about. There were what else? Well, even some like Star Wars related stuff. Just in general, is it an original concept? I think so. What it kind of went out to be, I think it's still original in a sense. I just think it kind of lost its way a little bit and got a big head. But that's me just saying that. And you guys, I don't know. You guys seem to like it. Don, you kind of seem like you're with me. And John, you're almost there. Hopefully you get what you want out of this season, bud. I'm not going to get anything out of it, so I'm going to watch something else. Stranger Things, coming out July 1st.
Stranger Things, after school special, podcast.com. You know, make sure you guys look us up, subscribe, share.
Like and subscribe. It helps us out. You have no idea how much it helps out by just subscribing, whether it's YouTube, Podchaser, Stitcher, Spotify, all these places. And just leave a review, even if, like, honestly, we love good ones, but just leave us something to know that you're listening, you're enjoying what we're putting out there. Come join the party on the Instagram, Twitter. You know, we're always posting, trying to post something every single day. You could follow me at Jumpin' Jehoshaphat on Instagram. And a lot of the posts that I make on the Instagram are also placed on there. It's an easy way to follow if you want to.
I'm
gentlemen,
Donnie Blah Blah. Donnie Blah Blah on Instagram and Twitter, I believe. So, yeah.
I'm at Staffman916 on Twitter. Fuck so. Yeah.
It's summertime, everybody. Shit, man.
Oh, shit. Is it summer now? Yeah, yes. Usually it's like summer right around after my birth. It was my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yesterday.
You don't sound sick anymore. We are.
No, I feel great.
Invigorated until you get COVID again. Until we get COVID again.
Yeah, and then that time it'll be what is it? Be like Red Fox. This is the big one. This is the big one. You know, put my and that would make sense because I probably already have some inflammation of the heart because of this disease. Anyways, not to get dark, but we love you. Thanks for listening to After School Special Podcast, and we will see you guys. Well, you will hear us next time, motherfuckers. Hey everyone, it's Aaron from After School Special Podcast. Like what you hear so far? But don't forget to subscribe and download the show on whatever platform you get your podcasts. And just a friendly reminder, we have new episodes out every Friday. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah.
They're children.
They're not fucking children. No, they're not.
I didn't say that.
Sorry, kid.